So this morning, I want to ask a question. What do Jamsetti Tata, Bill Gates, Warren Buffett, George Soros, Azeem Premi, Mackenzie Scott, Michael Bloomberg, and Lakesh Singh all have in common? They're all philanthropists, but not just any old philanthropist. They have, up until the year 2023, each donated over $10 billion. Jamsetti Tata tops that list, having donated over his lifetime and after he died in 1904, a total of $102.4 billion, beating Bill Gates into second place with his $79 billion. These eight philanthropists between them have donated a whopping $304 billion between them. In this world, philanthropists give on a huge level, so that the giver will be seen as noble for supporting a charity, or spending billions to be seen as a saint by vaccinating the poor in Africa, or even to be seen as a savior of the world by seeding the skies with particles to dim the sun and save the world from the doom of climate change. There are many websites you can go and look at which list philanthropists by year, by name, by total amount, and identify the area of philanthropy that they have donated to. If you turn, please, to Matthew 6, it's a scripture that we know very well, Matthew 6, and starting in verse 1, take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men, to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. Verse 3. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. Man loves to have fame and glory, and to be seen to be doing good, and then to have the praise and adoration that men love to shower on the rich and the famous given to them. Can man outgive God with his billions in charity? How should we give an offering? Scripture that we turn to quite a lot on holy days and offerings is Micah 6. Micah 6. And we see how we should be giving an offering. So starting in verse 6. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Verse 7. Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgressions, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? I'd like to ask a question. How much is a calf a year old worth? Well, depending on breed and pedigree, you can buy one from anywhere between a few hundred pounds to multiple thousands of pounds. How about 10,000s of rams? Well, according to the internet, because I know nothing about price of farm animals, £180 will buy you a 36-month-old Cleans ram. So that's going to cost you about £360,000 for the 2,000 of them you need to make plural thousands. 10,000 rivers of oil. Well, did you know Wikipedia has a flow rate for the top several hundred biggest rivers? But being more realistic side, I decided to plump for the 50th in the list. The River Meta in South America has an average discharge rate of 5,694,000 litres per second. So, if you're going to buy Spanish extra virgin olive oil at £16 a litre, then you're looking at £91 million per second for one river. Multiply that up by the 10,000 rivers you need, 911 billion per second. The fruit of my body? Well, unfortunately, that figure in today's society can be valued at the cost of an abortion. But the real value is priceless, because there is only one whose sacrifice can pay the price for our sins. Can man outgive God? Can we buy our reward in heaven? How much are the billions of dollars really worth which those philanthropists give? As King David said in Psalms 24, don't turn there, the earth and all its fullness is God's. God owns everything, absolutely everything. So how much is this planet worth that we're living on? An astrophysicist got bored one day, came up with a complex algorithm, and based on Earth's size, mass, temperature and age, he put a value on it of $5 quadrillion. That's 5 followed by 15 zeros. That 303 billion that those philanthropists given is just a drop in the ocean. There's only 6 zeros in billions. That puts man's material wealth in perspective to that of our Creator. Mankind is so self-centered, so important, we can't see just how inconsequential our material wealth actually is compared to that of our very Creator God. NASA has recently made a stunning discovery about Mercury, the smallest planet in our solar system, revealing that it may contain a vast layer of diamonds beneath its crust. Using data from the NASA Messenger spacecraft, scientists have identified a potential 10-mile thick crust of diamonds beneath its mantle. This discovery is particularly exciting to NASA, as it suggests the planet may be worth a pretty penny or two. Put that into perspective. The Cullinan diamond was found in 1905. It's the world's largest diamond. Its original worth, before it was cut, was $2 billion if it was sold at today's value. It was cut into 105 separate diamonds, the largest of which is worth $400 million. So that diamond, $2 billion, how much is 10 miles thick of diamond crust worth? And God owns that. How does that $303 billion compare? That NASA article continues. Whilst that discovery is remarkable, it's worth noting that Mercury is not the first celestial body to be associated with diamonds. In 2004, astronomers discovered a planet orbiting around star 55 Cancri, out there somewhere, which is to be believed to be composed largely of diamond. This exoplanet is a super-Earth, twice the radius and 8 times the mass of our planet. Its estimated value based on diamond composition is theorized to be $27 nonillion. Put that into perspective, a billion has 9 zeros, trillion has 12 zeros, quadrillion 15, nonillion has 30 zeros. Another way of looking at it, according to astrophysicists, this universe was created some 436 quadrillion, 117 trillion, 76 billion, 600 million seconds ago, give or take a few. So if you spent $10 trillion per second that the universe has been in existence, we would almost, but not quite, have spent $27 million. And that is what one planet out of countless billion planets that God has created. The eternal God owns everything. His heavens declare his glory. And Christ, the Word, spoke and the heavens were created. The richest in this world, compared with God's vast wealth, is like an ant coming to us with a billionth or a trillionth of a grain of sand and giving it to us. Do we look on the offering as the size of our donation? God doesn't. Continuing in Micah from where we were, verse 8. He has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly before your God. If we turn over a few more pages to Malachi, just starting in verse 1, Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, and just dropping down to verse 2. But who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and a fuller's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purify the silver. He will purify the sons of Levi, verse 3, and purge or refine them as gold and silver, that they may offer to the Lord an offering in righteousness. God wants us to give an offering with the correct attitude, the correct mindset, not as carnal man does, giving in order to get something. We are being refined in that refiner's crucible, as the refiner sits and waits to see his reflection in the molten silver in that crucible. So God is working on us until he sees his character in us. Then we are taken out of the fire and our character is set for all eternity. Then we will be able to truly give an offering in righteousness. We know the widow's mite. She gave everything she had, but it was given with the right attitude. And yet the Pharisees, who had those trumpets blown and gave much in physical value, spiritually gave nothing. They were ignored by God. They were trying to get man's adoration, trying to outgive each other in order to buy reward. God's plan doesn't fail if we don't give thousands or millions of dollars. He owns everything. God is interested in how we give, our attitude, where our heart is. That is what God is interested in, because he needs us to be ready to become his children so that we can teach his way of life to all of mankind. As Micah said, the most valuable offering is the sacrifice of our Savior to pay the price of our sins, that we might be the very sons of God, inherit all things, and to be co-heirs with Christ. That is what is on the line for us, eternal life in God's family. But that eternal life doesn't depend on how much we give, but our attitude when we do give an offering to the Lord. Where our treasure is, there our heart is also. And after the millennium, we will go out and plant the heavens after the white throne judgment. Wealth, we will be out there, inherited all things, co-heirs with Christ. Maybe one of us will be given that $27 million diamond-encrusted exoplanet to finish God's creation. But to be honest, we won't be looking at it as we do quite the same now. It won't be a case of, my planet's worth more than your planet. That attitude won't be around. You've probably got your finger in there, so Deuteronomy 16, verse 16. Three times a year, all your males shall appear before the Lord your God in the place which he chooses, at the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Feast of Weeks, and at the Feast of Tabernacles, and they shall not appear before the Lord empty-handed. Every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessings of the Lord your God which he has given you. We are to give as we are able, and according to our blessings. We're not to take out loans to give an offering, but likewise we're not to give less than we have been blessed with. Both attitudes are wrong. Getting that value right takes godly character, the very thing being refined in us on a daily basis in that crucible. And we have been truly blessed with treasure far beyond anything physical, far beyond the hoards of gold and silver, far beyond $27 million planets, diamond encrusted. Diamonds are not forever. God's character is forever. We truly are richer than any of those philanthropists I mentioned earlier. You can probably only remember one or two of their names. We have God's truth. He is creating his character in us. He is offering us a kingship and a priesthood. He is offering us eternal life, something so far beyond any physical monetary value. We can't outgive God. We can't even come close. So let us give an offering today according to our blessings, but let us give it with the right attitude, with godly character.